radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch Dayton. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You know the drill. Voice guy said it. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Cougs, Duke, tomorrow around 8 p.m. in the Final Four in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome. I think it's unfair to the Alamo, to call it the Alamo Dome. I mean, the Alamo Dome is a bit of a dump, right? Not quite Astrodome dumpy, because the Astrodome's been abandoned for, what, 25 years or so? Perhaps longer. There's rats, bats, but also cats, but also asbestos, and perhaps the mesothelioma. So obviously, yeah, Astrodome, not so hot. Alamo Dome, dump. You would think that, hey, we could have the Final Four in a better location, like, I don't know, Houston again? We've had a lot of them. Why can't we do it again? Why not? I had fun. The last time I went to a Final Four game was, what was it? Who was playing? I actually forget. But I went to a Final Four game for the Cougs. Not for the Cougs. I went to a was it a Sweet 16 game? Was it a Final Four game? I actually don't even remember. I think it was a Final Four game. I had a great time, Sean. I did have a great time. I don't even remember what happened.
Was it when Syracuse made it in like 2016?
I did go to that one. That one wasn't as great of a time, but the game after that, the Villanova-North Carolina National Championship game, was fun. Then we went to Dogwood after the game was done, and everyone was using Miller Lite bottles like they were champagne. And I remember I only had one drink, but I smelled so heavily of beer, I was very nervous that I was going to get pulled over on my way home, because I was wearing a polo, and the polo was literally just smelled like bread. You know, it was very yeasty, if you will. But wait a second, there was a final here, Final Four here.
Like 2 years ago.
Right, yeah. When
San
that
Diego
was it.
State, FAU.
That
Miami.
Was it. It was the wacky Final Four with San Diego State and FAU. That's why I couldn't remember their names. I was like, who are these fake ass schools?
And then
UConn won.
Yeah.
But it was a fun time until UConn won. But then UConn won. That sucked.
And it's also
it was Miami, Florida Atlantic, and San Diego State. What a weird Final Four.
I know. It's like kind of the polar opposite of this one, where it's like the four best teams all year all made it. And it's like 2 years ago we had, again, the wackiest thing. I remember we were like so bummed out about it.
Yeah.
We were like,
oh,
FAU.
Who are any of these schools?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that'll probably never happen again.
I don't know. I mean, well, probably to that extent, probably not.
To that degree, never again. Yeah. I mean, FAU? Good God. I totally forgot they existed. But anyway, our beloved Cougs, Duke, Auburn, Florida, all from the Alamo Dome. And the Alamo Dome, let's be honest, guys, it's no River Ranch Dayton. With 16 new model homes in the high 200s to the 500s. And the Angel Lagoon with the white sand beaches, the turquoise water, and the swim-up bar, the most important thing. I'm going to, you know, bring your family out here, then just go to the swim-up bar. But, Paul, like, you know, you got to have responsibilities. No, just go to the swim-up bar. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. That's where I want to be right now. But anyway, we're in a model home. It's a very nice model home. Hopefully the weather clears up so we can hang out at the swim-up bar in a little bit. You want to jump in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, you can. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 975. We're at River Ranch Dayton. It's a fantastic place. Go to their website, riverranch.com. Dana Brown is the general manager of the Houston Astros, who did get a victory yesterday over the Minnesota Twins, and the offense actually did things at the plate, which was neato and splendorific. Whenever we hear Dana Brown talk, we got to determine whether or not we're down with what he's saying. Because sometimes he gets a little bit politician-y. He starts over-promising things that he can't possibly deliver. It's time for another episode of Are You Down with Dana B?
You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too
It's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see.
Are you down with Dana Brown? Hey, guys, Dana Brown was on the Astros flagship earlier this week, and he was asked about a variety of important topics for the Astros as they open up the year. He was asked if he thought Alex Bregman would be back this offseason, and he gave a non-answer. Not surprising. I think ultimately, you read between the lines there, Bregman was never coming back. The Astros knew it from the start. He also regularly, over the course of this interview, doubled down on the idea that this Astros offense is a really, really good offense. And he felt that the pitching that they faced, specifically against the Giants, is elite stuff. I guess we'll see. The Giants are off to a 5-1 start, for what it's worth. I don't know what the Giants did last night. What I do know is that, I mean, yeah, they were tough, and, you know, between Jordan Hicks and Logan Webb and some of the other pitchers that the Giants threw out there. Yeah, I could see how the Astros might struggle a little bit, especially with Yordan Alvarez slumping and with Cam Smith making his debut and Christian Walker and Isak Paredes figuring out how to play at Daikin Park. Yeah, the Giants are 5-1, and they're in third place because the Dodgers are 8-0 and the Padres are 7-0. So the National League West, good God, it's a really good division. At least to open up the year. More, are you down with Dana Brown? Dana said this is a really good team. And that's very subjective. I don't know that I'm down with really good team. I feel like they're good. Really good, again, subjective. But really good implies that they are one of a handful of favorites in the American League. And I don't think we can say they're a favorite in the American League. Even though they own the Yankees, I don't think that they're ahead of the Yankees. Even though they own the Orioles, I don't think that they're ahead of the Orioles. I mean, the fact that they could not take care of business against a Tigers team that were sellers at the trade deadline in that two-game series, I feel like they have to earn that kind of confidence from us. And I don't know that they're going to be able to do that over the course of the next couple of months. We'll see. I mean, once we get back to the playoffs, though, I'm going to be a little skeptical instead of being just straight pandering and saying the Astros are the greatest thing that's ever happened to humanity, like I did last year. He kept on talking about Dana Brown. Are you down with Dana Brown on his visit with the Astros flagship? This is a really good team. It's going to be a really fun team to watch. He was asked when he knew that Cam Smith would make the team. He gave a non-answer. It does really feel like they were flying by the seat of their pants when it came to that decision. And when asked about the trade for Cam Smith, if Cam was someone they specifically were targeting, Brown said that, yeah, we saw Cam Smith. We didn't think we would ever be able to draft him. But when the trade was a possibility, we knew that we could get 14 years of control for 1 year of control when it comes to Kyle Tucker. It's kind of insufferable, that quote. I mean, 14 years of control is good if the players you bring in are good. We're waiting for Isak Paredes to get going. Daikin Park, at least the first six games, he projects so well for that park, didn't look so hot. When asked about Cam Smith, I thought this was interesting, and I do not buy this. He does not expect prolonged slumps with Cam Smith. That, to me, is crazy. I think you have to expect that at some point, a rookie player who has never played above AA and only played a few games at the AA level, the idea that he is never going to have a prolonged slump is absolutely preposterous. I think that was an absolutely crazy thing for Dana Brown to say. So I am not down with that. He was asked basically, hey, if Cam Smith goes through a prolonged slump, would you bench him? So in a way, maybe he was just trying to not answer the question, because I think he's of the mindset that Smith's not going to have a prolonged slump. But if he does, I mean, he should be benched. When asked about Lance McCullers, he says that McCullers is in a good space and hopes that he is back soon. He also said when it comes to Forrest Whitley, who will be back mid to late April, he is apparently hitting 96 on the gun, and he seems to be of the mindset that Whitley is going to be a big addition to the Astros bullpen when he's back. Again, I'm a little skeptical about that. But we might actually see Forrest Whitley and Lance McCullers this year, two people that we thought were as mythical as Bigfoot and the Yeti. He was asked about Dana Brown. Are you down with Dana Brown? The leadership for the Astros going into this season and as it begins. He says that Jose Altuve is a quiet leader. That Christian Walker, who you bring in from the Arizona Diamondbacks, is a leader. That Jeromy Pena, who he calls Pena, is a leader. That Mauricio Dubon is a leader. That was surprising to hear. And that Victor Caratini is one as well. So you got some veteran guys off of the bench who are considered leaders in this Astros clubhouse, in addition to a new guy in Christian Walker and Jeromy Pena. No Bregman, no Kyle Tucker. You can understand how there might be a little bit of a void. No Justin Verlander either. And then he was asked, hey, is Jose Altuve your left fielder? He said, yep, he's a left fielder. He's going to play a little second base. But there you go. Not as much fun with this edition of Are You Down with Dana Brown, where we react to what Dana Brown, Astros GM, says on the Astros flagship. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's an Ask on Anything Friday from the 832. If you could be a superstar in any sport, what would it be in and why? Definitely international soccer, but I'd want to play in Spain or in Italy. Specifically, I'd want to be in Barcelona or near Ibiza. I'd want to be there. You know why. I went to Barcelona once. The hottest people I've ever seen in my life. It's a beautiful city. I really enjoyed it. And so I'd want to be somewhere kind of international. And I also want to be a soccer player, because that means you're like a global brand. So I'm just going to get all sorts of stupid money from endorsements and stuff like that. And it does seem like being an absolute debaucherous POS is not as frowned upon when it comes to if you're a soccer player, an international soccer player. So, yeah, I feel like that would be what I'd want to do if I could be a superstar in any sport, a soccer player in Spain or Italy. F England, I don't ever want to go there again the rest of my life. Probably will at some point. But no, it's too cold. It's too miserable. Seems like the country's like kind of losing its mind. Free speech, not a thing there. Nope. But Spain? Italy? It'd be fantastic. And then I'd get a huge contract, and if I was in Italy, I'm just going to eat a crap ton of pasta and become a fatty bombati. Because if I make a lot of money, I won't care about how I look. But since I don't make a lot of money, I do care about how I look, because I'm a vain, shallow person. From the 832 on an Ask on Anything Friday, Paul, where are you watching the Cougs game at? That's a good question. A buddy of mine's birthday is, his birthday party is happening on Saturday night, so I'm watching it there. But I don't know where the birthday party is. I should probably figure that out. I will be bringing my stupid Cougs hat, and I might wear it after the fact. Paul, it's not a stupid Cougs hat. That's true. It's not. It's a beautiful Cougs hat. So there you go. The Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. There's something that went down in Houston today that does have me wondering if maybe we should legalize something that has yet to be legalized in this state. It's definitely getting legalized all over the country. I'm not talking about the ganja. I'm not talking about the weeds. This is a family program. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. And in case you didn't know, we are live at River Ranch Dayton, just northeast of Houston. RiverRanch.com for more information. They got some amazing homes in this community, ranging from $250,000 to the low 500s. You want to get out of the bustle of the city and have a lagoon in your backyard with a swim-up bar in the middle of it, and restaurants and pickleball courts and concerts and a fitness center and a community elementary school. I mean, my goodness, so many awesome things. Three-car garages we're talking about here. You want to go check out more information at RiverRanch.com, because that's where we're at, River Ranch Dayton. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, live at River Ranch Dayton. Stick around.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. you locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch, Dayton. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. From the 832, hey Paul, Godzilla or King Kong? Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I empathize with King Kong. King Kong was just horny. King Kong saw a hot blonde and was like, damn, I am in love. And honestly, it might have even been a love that wasn't sexual in nature, you know? Because it was like the whole, like, he's a gorilla, she's a lady. Does that work? I don't know. I mean, you know, there's evolution. We descended from apes, blah, 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 blah.
Or like, what, 3% different than apes?
Yeah.
Maybe they can make it work.
Well, I think we're closer to chimps than gorillas. Whatever. Again, yeah. King Kong, let's just think about it from this perspective. King Kong was huge, and this was like a regular-sized lady. This wasn't some like Amazon or something like that. So I don't know.
There's some complications for the process. Yes.
I don't think things are going to work. Also, I don't think she was as enamored with him as he was with her, though the Peter Jackson movie made it seem like she at least felt bad for him. And I would too. I mean, like, put him in a cage and stuff, and they shipped him all the way back from his homeland. So he's mad. He's in downtown New York City. But then we've got the Godzilla versus Kong franchise, and that King Kong's huge. Godzilla seems like an a-hole. Like, he seems like really inconsiderate. So
sometimes, like, sometimes he's on our side,
but that's the funny thing.
And sometimes he's not. I don't know.
When he's on our side, like, he still destroys cities.
Oh, yeah.
While on our side,
so do the Avengers. I mean, they destroy New York when Loki came in.
That's true. But bring it back to Godzilla. So I think Godzilla's an a-hole. Like, I think Godzilla every now and then, like, oh, look at me, I'm Godzilla, oh, I'm a detention whore, I'm in the middle of a city, oh, I have nuclear melting fire breath, and I'm just going to take out half of downtown, but don't worry, I'm protecting you. Like, Godzilla, a-hole, and King Kong I empathize with, so if I'm picking between the two, I'm picking King Kong, and you're welcome for the very nuanced explanation.
King Kong ain't got nothing on Godzilla.
King Kong got nothing on Godzilla, that is right, B-Mac.
I had to do it.
I like that. I like that. We did play that clip yesterday on the show. From the 281, Godzilla spits fire and goes underwater. Yeah, and then he comes out of the water and he destroys cities. Oh, God, I'm Godzilla. Oh, look at me. I'm so cool. I'm a dinosaur with, like, radioactive breath. Like, Mothra's cool. Like, Mothra cares about
Mothra's
us.
Mothra's cool? Mothra's not cool.
Yeah, from the 281.
A giant moth, who cares?
Godzilla ate a bunch of Japanese people. He's racist. Well, I don't know if he ate them. I think he just, like, burninated them, like, with nuclear fire from his mouth. And it's not cool. Like, Japan's dealt with a lot of nuclear fire, and then here's Godzilla. Oh, the tension whore that's just, like, roaming around downtown. Not cool. Anyway, hey, this is an interesting story, and it's sports-related. A Pakistani national, writes the headline for Channel 2, is alleged to be a ringleader in a $22 million illegal game room / money laundering scheme in Houston. So there's been an investigation for 5 years, and a raid took place on Wednesday where 720 law enforcement agents executed search warrants at 40 locations across Houston. This person, who was arrested, Nizar Ali, a Pakistani national who lives in Richmond, used family members to operate dozens of game rooms across the city. They laundered money across real estate investments and other high-value assets. Millions of dollars were seized. $4.5 million in cash recovered. 2,000 slot machines were recovered. 100 Rolex watches. 8 guns, and 31 undocumented immigrants were arrested for involvement, and they've been turned over to ICE. So look, I'm just surprised that gambling's still illegal. That's really all I've got to say on this, and I don't know what's going on with the money laundering, but I mean, slot machines, can't have this in our great state. We can't have poker rooms.
Well, we can. There's loopholes with these things. There's poker rooms, but it's treated as like a social club.
Yeah,
instead
what's
of a,
wrong with that?
It's and then like what was it? I think on Lake Livingston, there's Nasila Gaming. There's like some like not a cruise ship because it's on a lake, but like they have slot machines there. I don't understand all the workarounds people have, but mostly we can blame the lobbyists in Oklahoma and Louisiana.
Yeah, that's what I do. 100%. I mean, again, it should be legal in Texas, and I have no idea, you know, the degrees of money laundering that's going on here. But if people want to gamble in a state where, you know, hey, do your thing, like that's kind of our motto. If you want to do something, you can do it. You just have to do it yourself. Why is that a decision that we're not allowed to make? Why is it? Do we have to drive 2.5 hours to Lake Charles? Why do we have to drive to godforsaken hellhole Oklahoma? Like, why do we have to go to these, you know, places that aren't Texas to make decisions that we should be allowed to make, given that we live in the United States of America, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Well, maybe happiness and the pursuit of happiness comes from gambling. So that's all I've got to say. Like, I mean, it does feel like we could perhaps be focusing on, I don't know, not illegal gambling dens so that we can, like, get $22 million or whatever that they got in this bust. So that's all I really have to say on it. I'm not going to look into the details, into the specifics, because I'm sure there are some shady things that are going on here. But more the question I have is, like, it's just strange to me that we focus so much of our time on, you know, the morality of gambling and stopping gambling from happening, when I feel like it should be up to every single person to make a decision on whether or not they want to. And if you want to, go ahead and do it. And obviously do it responsibly and don't get in over your head. But it's legal in other states. Why is it illegal here?
Like, maybe this is what Ted Cruz can filibuster about to keep him away from the Final Four.
That's true, because there's a change.org petition online that is hoping that Ted Cruz will not go to the Cougs-Duke game tomorrow night in San Antonio for the Final Four. So, yeah, that could be it. He could filibuster, try to break the filibuster record that was set earlier this week so that we can get gambling legalized in Texas. That would be neato. B-Max out here with me. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. We are at River Ranch Dayton all afternoon. Killer Bees are going to be here too. River Ranch Dayton, guys, it's an awesome new community just northeast of Houston. You got a swim-up bar with a lagoon, turquoise water, white sand beaches. It's this massive area where you like the water. Well, this is a fantastic little place to come out, hang out in the summer. And there's pickleball courts. And there's concerts. There's going to be a fitness center soon. There's restaurants here. Homes here are priced from $250,000 to the low 500s. You can get three-car garages, and there's special incentives like a low interest rate. There's closing cost assistance as well. Go to www.riverranch.com for more information. It's Paul Galacho, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Up next, the 10-minute drill. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. A quarterback got an extension, and a guy the Texans could have had just got paid. I wish they had him, even though I think he got overpaid. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. On Ask Gallant Anything Friday, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Yes, I'm going to Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Live from River Ranch, Dayton. A fantastic community built around the Angel Lagoon. There's white sand beaches. There's turquoise water. There's a swim-up bar in the middle of it. There's restaurants. There's pickleball courts. Concerts. Homes priced from $250,000 to the low 500s. Looking to get away from the bustle of the city, and you want yourself pretty cool stuff in your backyard, this is the place to make it happen. More information, you can get it at riverranch.com. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We do have some more of your questions to get back to on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's looking more and more strange that the Seattle Seahawks moved on from Geno Smith by the day. Obviously, they signed Sam Darnold. They signed him to a pretty expensive deal, but if you take a look at the deal, basically it's just a one-year contract. They did this instead of just keeping Geno Smith. Geno Smith, who is now with the Raiders after being traded there, just got an extension. So he's now making about 3 years, $37 million a year or so, while Seattle gave Darnold 3 years and $33.5 million. There's $10 million more guaranteed for Geno Smith. But, I mean, one of the reasons I think the Seahawks decided we're going to go with Sam Darnold instead of going with Geno Smith is because he's a little bit cheaper. And, I mean, here's the thing. Like, for whatever you might feel about Geno Smith, who I do think is inconsistent and does sometimes have some bad turnovers, I'd much rather have Geno Smith as my quarterback than Sam Darnold. It's a really weird move that they're moving on from him. And, obviously, if you've paid attention to, you know, Geno Smith and his time in the NFL, the guy has a pretty strong relationship with Pete Carroll. So I think he probably wanted to go to Las Vegas and to play with him again. But I think it's bizarre that, you know, the extension that he got with the Raiders, Geno Smith, it's really not all that much. We're talking about $10 million more guaranteed money. And the Seahawks are thinking, you know what, let's just get rid of Geno Smith and let's move on with Sam Darnold. Like, that's going to get us further. It's not. It's not. Anyway, Mark Davis had a funny line as well. Now, the owner of the Raiders, he says that this is his favorite time of the year because this is the time where we are undefeated. That's neato. I like his cute little hair. You know, it does look a little bit like Tweedledee / Tweedledum if they were to remove their little hats with the propellers on the top of them from Alice in Wonderland. And I digress. As far as 18-game schedule for the NFL, my God, I feel like we hear a story like this every day. Talks could start soon for an 18-game schedule. It's going to happen. Just get it over with. Just rip off the Band-Aid. I'd like to see the 18-game start at some point instead of just constantly hearing that it's on the horizon. The Cleveland Browns stay on brand. You know, we talked yesterday about how the Bengals are a mess. The Browns are a mess, too. So first off, they have challenged Myles Garrett to become a real leader of the team. Huh. I don't know. Maybe have him prove that before you give him a four-year, $160 million extension with $123.5 guaranteed, so he's making $40 million a year. I don't know. You might want to take care of that. They haven't. But more from the Browns, they admitted this week that the Deshaun Watson trade was a massive screw-up on their front. I don't know how many people saw this, but Jimmy Haslam, who was the Browns owner, said, quote, "We took a big swing and missed with Deshaun." Deshaun's still on the roster. "We thought we had the quarterback. We didn't. Damn. And we gave up a lot of draft picks to get him. So we've got to dig ourselves out of that hole." End quote. If you're a Browns fan, you like hearing at least he's being honest about this. Would be nice if he was a little honest about, like, why the hell was Deshaun Watson playing as long as he did last season when he clearly sucked. But it is interesting that an owner is actually admitting that he screwed up on this one. I feel like if you're a Browns fan, you're kind of just stuck looking at the absolute car crash that is your franchise, wondering if this guy's ever going to be taken down, especially considering this is a guy who I believe has beaten some serious, let's just say, off-the-field issues. You know, with the flying pilot J, corruption, blah, 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 stuff like that. I don't know the specifics. All I know is this guy's an unsavory character, and the fact that he's an NFL owner is pretty crazy. But if we want to go a little bit further with the Browns and how much of a mess up they are, there's this rumor that took root last weekend about how Kirk Cousins was in Cleveland. He was at Chipotle, a Chipotle in Cleveland, and at a place called City Barbecue. But per Browns GM Andrew Berry, it had nothing to do with the Browns. That said, I think everyone's seeing through this and they think that's full of crap because Kirk Cousins, who is still a member of the Atlanta Falcons right now, Cousins wants to be cut, this per CBSSports.com. And it does make sense. If you're Cousins, I'd want to be cut too if Michael Penix took my job right after I signed that contract thinking I'm going to be the quarterback for at least the next 2 years in Atlanta. He is coming off of injury, so I do understand why the Falcons would potentially want to move on from him. And they saw him last year. He wasn't the same guy after coming off of that injury. But it is interesting that the Browns are thinking about getting Kirk Cousins, but they do not want to absorb his contract because the Deshaun Watson contract is so bad. And imagine being a Browns fan, you're stuck with Deshaun Watson, and you're hoping that Kirk Cousins, of all people, is going to be your savior. That kind of sucks. Continuing to go around the National Football League, we had a big extension for a tight end who I really had not heard of before last year. And I think the only people that have heard of this guy probably are fantasy football obsessors. But the Cardinals are making Pro Bowl tight end Trey McBride the highest paid tight end in NFL history. They're giving him a four-year, $76 million extension. $43 million is guaranteed. $19 million average a year is the highest ever for any NFL tight end. If I'm Travis Kelce, I see this. I'm a little bit pissed off. Although at this point, he is a kept man by his billionaire wife. Check that. His billionaire girlfriend, strong, independent woman, Taylor Swift. I had never heard of Trey McBride, truly, until last year. And here's an interesting tidbit if you want to be one of those second guessers of every single draft pick that doesn't go your way, even though the NFL draft is a crapshoot. Trey McBride was drafted 11 picks after the Texans took John Metchie with the 44th pick in the 2022 NFL draft. So you wanted a tight end, which the Texans don't have. Dalton Schultz doesn't like blocking. Hands, suspects. And then after that, you got the Cade Stover show, who you drafted from Ohio State. We'll see what he is next year, but I don't think he's going to be much of a blocker. And you had, before that, Brevin Jordan, who, he's a pretty good blocker and had that big catch and run against the Browns in the playoffs for the 2023-2024 season, that where all the Browns players like forgot to stay on the field. They ran on the sidelines, and Jordan just had a wide open lane down the right sideline for a touchdown. It was one of the weirder plays I've ever seen. But they could have had Trey McBride, who just got paid by the Cardinals. Tight end is an underrated need for the Texans this offseason. They did not get one, really, in free agency. So are they going to draft one? I definitely think it should be on the table, but you never know what you're going to get with a tight end. The first-round tight ends almost always end up being busts, at least relative to the expectations, because I think everyone thinks when you draft a tight end in the first round, you're going to be getting Rob Gronkowski, you're going to be getting Travis Kelce, but then you end up getting someone like Kyle Pitts, and what do? There. Kyle Pitts, couldn't miss prospect, you know, and what's that been since he came? So, tough position to draft that, but I think it's the Texans. It's a position the Texans definitely need to think about. Also, I saw this story, and this is one of those moments where Joe George, who still does work at the station, this is one of those stories where I would bully Joe George about, though, because I like to bully Joe George about the Bears to just make up for the fact that my favorite team growing up, the Patriots, are never going to be good again. But Bears CEO Kevin Warren said that he knew Ben Johnson was the next Bears head coach 10 minutes into his interview. Here's what Warren said. Within 10 minutes of the interview starting for me, if you look at my notes that I took, I knew right there. Oh, God, he's a note taker during an interview. Because he was so passionate. He's absolutely brilliant. He's smart. He was tough. He was demanding. And because I've never talked with him, you never know. And I had gone back and watched all of his media interviews. And you know how you're watching a lot of candidates on the sideline, their demeanor, how they communicate with players, all of that. But in the first 10 minutes of the interview, I just felt in my heart that he was the person to lead the Chicago Bears. Now, different people were in charge of making this decision. But this is the same organization that with what's-his-face, Matt Nagy, and with what's-his-face, Ryan Pace, not to be confused with current GM Ryan Poles. These guys interviewed Mitchell Trubisky, and they liked Mitchell Trubisky over, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson because he drove a Toyota. So this is kind of on brand for the Bears, and I think it's funny that the owner who, hired the awesome offensive coordinator from a team in his division is saying, yeah, 10 minutes into the interview, I knew he's the guy. No, this was just the sexiest candidate on the market, whether or not the interview went well. I mean, the guy could have dropped his drawers on the floor, started waving around his winky like a helicopter, and I think it still would have been fine. They wanted Ben Johnson no matter what. Paul, that was really graphic. Whatever, I'm just saying they were going to hire Ben Johnson no matter what. And there you go. That's the 10-minute drill, everybody. It's the Paul Gallant Show on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We're hanging out and about at the fantastic location and community known as the River Ranch Dayton, just northeast of Houston. There's 16 new model homes. You can get homes from the high 200s to the 500s. There's the Angel Lagoon with turquoise water, white sand beaches. And most importantly for me, a swim-up bar. There's restaurants. There's pickleball courts. There's going to be a fitness center here. There's a community elementary school. And it's reasonably priced, $250,000 to the low 500s. Get outside the hustle and bustle of the H-Town. Get yourself a place with a three-car garage, www.riverranch.com, for more information. Something we didn't get to in the 10-minute drill that we will get to on the other side. It's a sad day to be a Houston sports fan. On an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, it is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch, Dayton. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. That's right. You heard him from the voice guy himself. We're hanging out at River Ranch Dayton, a new community just northeast of Houston with 16 new model homes, ranging from the high 200s to the 500s. There's a lagoon right smack in the middle of it with white sand beaches and turquoise water. It's called the Angel Lagoon, but with the swim-up bar in the middle, you can let your devil out. That's what I would do. But since the weather's not cooperating, we're not outside. We're in a model home here. It's a very beautiful home. If you want to jump in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, you can at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. It's how you text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Before we get back into your questions, pour out your cup of purple stuff, because we lost the Houston legend yesterday. Probably the longest tenured quarterback in the history of Houston sports, if you count his 20 years at the University of Houston, give or take, and his 2 years with the Texans, and then his other 2 to 3 years with the Houston Texans. Case Keenum has left us. He hasn't left this world, he left us. Although the Texans maybe just didn't want it back. He signed a one-year deal worth up to $3 million with the Chicago Bears. He will help mentor Caleb Williams in Chicago, as he did for C.J. Stroud in Houston. I will remember you. And on and on, will you remember me? And on and on, Case Keenum beat the Oilers wearing Houston Oilers uniforms, even though they're the Tennessee Titans. What a memory. Keenum is 37. He's played for 7 teams in 12 years. The Bears will be his 8th team. 30-36 with 15,175 passing yards, 79 touchdowns, and 51 interceptions in his career. So this means Davis Mills is going to be C.J. Stroud's backup this coming season. No more Case Keenum. What a bummer. Junior Broncos says on the Twitch, Chicago loves Houston's sloppy seconds. Well, they were supposedly sniffing around Alex Bregman. They obviously traded for Kyle Tucker. They had Hector Neris last year. They got Ryan Presley this year. By the way, Hector Neris got DFA'd. Hector Neris got DFA'd this year. That was news to me. The Braves are so bad, they can't figure out their closer situation, that they DFA'd Hector Neris. So we might see Hector Neris again. Who knows? Hector Neris wasn't great, though, when he joined the Astros at the end of last year, you know. So there you go, guys. So to Ask Gallant Anything Friday, you can ask any question at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Pour one out. The Case Keenum era in Houston is over. It's over. From the 281. GD, Paul, I really thought you were saying Case Keenum died. No, no. He signed elsewhere. But going to Chicago is basically like dying, you know, because some people call it Chirac. I would never call it that. I'm a good guy, you know. I look at all cities, and I value them equally, and I would never dump on a place I've never been to, except for Indianapolis, which was a hellhole. From the 832. I don't know about your Ben Johnson take, Paul, because Eric Bieniemy was the hot name for several seasons, yet no one hired him because he interviewed so poorly. Well, he was a hot candidate because he was the Chiefs offensive coordinator. I don't know that he ever was as hot of a candidate as people made him out to be. I think people wanted him to be a hot candidate because he was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. And the fact that he's black, people want to see more black offensive coordinators out there. And I actually understand that. It is kind of weird, the dynamic of the NFL, where there aren't as many black offensive coordinators. It is strange. Considering how many black players are in the league. It is strange. But was Eric Bieniemy qualified for the job? I would say that just given his relationships that we've heard stories about with players and kind of how hard-nosed he is, I don't know that he would have been a fit for every single coaching staff, especially if he didn't have a prior relationship working with him, you know? So there you go on Eric Bieniemy. From the text line, 281. Chicago rules. It's a way better designed city than Houston. Well, congratulations. Congratulations. I don't think the South Side has been constructed so well. But that's just me. Ask Alon anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. King of Twitch asks, Paul, what are your thoughts on female tats and ear gauges? First off, tats, do not care. Do not care at all. I mean, there's a certain point. I don't like, you could have a you could have an arm sleeve as a lady. If you take care of yourself, I'm not going to care. I don't like the tattoos that some ladies get on their cleavage. Like, that's kind of the chest tattoo for a lady. That's probably where I draw the line. But no, I don't care. I don't care about tats. You know, old Woodlands girl had some tats up and down the side, you know? They were interesting. But no, I don't mind tats. Ear gauges are gross. I don't get the ear gauge thing. The worst part about ear gauges is when they're out. The grocery store that I worked at in St. Petersburg, Florida, Hannaford's, there was a guy at this grocery store who had ear gauges, and they would make him take out the ear gauges. And he was a nice guy. I liked him. But it was so weird because he had massive ear gauges. It was very weird working with him, and he had like these loops in his ear. And me being a weirdo, like I had like a constant, like, you know, like the intrusive thought, like you see a cop with a police officer and you're like, what would happen if I touched this gun? But you don't actually do it. It's sort of the same thing with this guy with the ear gauge holes. I always thought to myself, like, what happened if I like put my finger in it and like just tugged? What would happen? This is just intrusive.
I mean, it would definitely hurt.
It would have hurt, B-Mac, but it was an intrusive thought I always had. I'm like, what would happen?
How close did you get to acting upon?
I would never have done that. No, I never would have done that. Just like in the truth, I was like, what? Because it was so big. It was like, you're going to fit three fingers into that. It was really, he had it really big. It was kind of alarming. Like, they were hanging down. And, yeah, like, I don't get the ear gauge thing. I don't understand why people would get that. Don't do it is my advice on an Ask Glenn Anything Friday. On the text line, would you rather accidentally like an old photo of your ex on Instagram or accidentally send a sex to your mom? I like old photos of my exes all the time because I'm toxic and I want to be back in their lives. I've done this many times. I'm not even ashamed of that.
So this is
who would want to send a sex to their mom?
Yeah, no, the choice is obvious there. So let's move past that part of it. is this like a regular part of your like vicious cycle?
Every now and then. I actually,
so if we had the flow chart, there's always a part where you come back to the texting the
ex. It's bad. I mean, I'm in a better place from a dating perspective right now. I'll just leave it at that. But my New Year's resolution was, like, I'm not going to talk to my exes anymore. And then, like, a month into the year, I talked to, like, three of them. And then I was, like, going
always
on Instagram.
Always with the hope of rekindling?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, 100%. Okay. And honestly, okay, the funny thing is, like, I bet that had I rekindled things, once I have it, I wouldn't want it anymore because I want what I can't have. So, like, as soon as – if they actually were like, yeah, I want this, I'd probably be like, I don't know anymore. You know, like, sort of like JD at the end of, I think, season three of Scrubs, where he gets Elliot to break up with Sean. And then he realizes, oh, wait, I don't want her anymore. And then he, like, just kind of tries to move on and is awkward between he and Elliot for, like, a season or so. So, yeah, it's an Ask Glenn Anything Friday. I talked about how it's kind of weird that there is a crackdown on these illegal gambling parlors in Houston. Someone said, why any gambling addict that said he can't scratch his addiction? I don't even really gamble that much. And I know I've done endorsements for mybookie.ag. Promo code BAT975 was the promo code. It's like, just a habitual thing. And hopefully they'll be back with us in the near future. But no, I'm not an addict. I think that it's weird that it's illegal in the state, because I feel like it's the state is essentially saying, oh, yeah, this money that we could get by taxing gambling, yeah, we don't want it. And I just think that's dumb. You know, I would say the same thing for marijuana. Like, hey, what's better, property taxes that continue to increase or alternative revenue streams for the state that could come from gambling or marijuana? Like, forget the morality side of things. Because let's be honest. Like,
well, that's what it is, though.
But it's funny though, BMAC, because like
I'm
money
not siding
is money.
On that side, but that's what it is.
Money is money, and like the way that they flex the morality thing, like people aren't as opposed to these two things anymore, and it's weird that
the old people who vote in the off year elections are.
I guess.
I think that's what it is.
I guess it could be that, but it's weird. Like I feel like most people that are my age, like, are all like, yeah, gambling should be legal.
And I think
yeah,
we get to that point because those people who would vote against it are dying out.
Well, are they dying? So, I don't know.
I don't know. Someone just had to bid your time, I think.
Living longer and longer these days. Anyway, it's an Ask on Anything Friday. That's BMAC. He's hanging out here with me, Sean Mapes, back at Mission Control on an Ask on Anything Friday, live from River Ranch Dayton, a new community just northeast of Houston, with 16 new model homes ranging from the high 200s to the low 500s. It's got three-car garages. There's a lagoon with white sand beaches. They are white sand. It's crazy how white it is. Turquoise water. The water is very turquoise. And a swim-up bar in the middle of all of it. It's a must-see community. Check it out. We're going to be here till 6. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask on Anything Friday. The Cougs are playing Duke tomorrow for a chance to play in the national championship, and the Astros are back in the win column before a random off day. Two off days in the first week of games. Kind of weird. Off on Sunday, off on Friday. Are you feeling better after they took down the Twins 5-2 yesterday in the frigid cold of Minnesota? You can discuss that with us here. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And we've been talking Cougs all day. We're talking about a Cougs legend, Case Keenum. Maybe there's going to be a couple more Cougs legends by the end of this weekend. Maybe it's going to be Emmanuel Sharp. If you like Emmanuel Sharp to etch his name in Coug history, it starts tomorrow night against the Duke Blue Devils. I like him to score more than six, or to have more than 16.5 points plus rebounds. Milos Uzan, I like him to be hitting the boards, getting some assists, more 6.5 rebounds and assists. And Cooper Flagg, the best player in college basketball, as it was announced today, to score more, or to have more than 27 points plus rebounds. Going to be a lot of missed shots. Not only is it going to be in a football arena, it's also going to be two of the best defensive teams in college basketball facing off. Maybe you don't want to get involved with the basketball action. Well, there's always professional basketball. There's baseball. They have soccer. They have darts. They have esports. Whatever you want, you can find it on Prize Picks, and especially today on a Flex Friday. That's right. You can get a lineup wrong. Doesn't matter. They'll put the $20 back in your account if you're wrong. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to make that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.